This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to go to the guest line today. And we visit with a friend of the show, St. Louis native, a CBC graduate. We've got Mark Hertling, retired United States Army Lieutenant General, with us here on KMOX. How's it going, General?
Chris, it's going great. And I got to tell you that even the intro music was super. I didn't ask for that, but just tuned in as you were playing Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, which is one of my all-time favorite songs from the 70s.
Oh, that's awesome. It was intentional.
Yeah, I think it was. It was my walk-in music, or walk-up music, I guess.
That's right.
Oh, speaking of that, Cardinals baseball officially started, and opening day yesterday. Are you going to make it to St. Louis sometime this season?
You know, I'm hoping to do that, Amy, and my wife and I did stop everything. I came home from work and watched the game here on the East Coast, and it was phenomenal. I think it portends a great season, and I've been squashed when I've said that before, but this time I think there's a chemistry on this team that seems to be pretty good.
Well, we hope you're right, because a good Cardinal season is clearly great for the city. Yeah. It's great for us, my fandom. We would love for them to do well. So let's talk about what we discovered this week with those messages that were sent over Signal, talking about, I mean, you can call them war plans or not call them war plans. I guess we could start there. Is that what it was? And how bad of a thing is it that these things were shared and accidentally given to a reporter?
I'll start off by saying, Chris, first of all, way to segue from a happy place and watching the Cardinals to the craziness of our...
We can't do too much happiness, Mark. We just can't.
Yeah. But what I'll say is, no, they were not war plans. And I said that from the very beginning. I was asked by a bunch of media folks to comment on war plans. And I need to start with the fact that one of my jobs in the Army, when I was a young one-star general, my only tour in the Pentagon, I was the keeper of our nation's war plans. It was part of my role on the joint staff as the J-7, was to keep the X number of war plans. And I can't tell you how many there were because that's classified in itself. But a war plan can go from anywhere from 100 pages to 1,000 pages long. There's different annexes. They're all on computers now and on top secret formats in a secure format. And not to get too geeky on it, but when I saw the headline of the original article of passing war plans, I said, there's no way you can do that on a Signal app. First of all, because you can't transfer a classified document onto an unclassified system. And I could really go deep into why you can't do that, but it's impossible to do it because you can't pull things off of secret networks that the Pentagon has. But when the second day came up and you saw the timing and the ordnance that the aircraft were going to deliver and the integration of other types of methods like UAVs or drones. It was exactly what I suggested it was on Morning Joe on Tuesday. I think it was Wednesday morning when I said what they probably passed was a joint naval air attack plan, which is part of the war plan, but it's a very small part. It's sort of like an Excel spreadsheet that gives the integration of all kinds of forces to execute an attack and to accomplish a specific mission. And that's sort of what it turned out to be. So, these are highly classified, especially if they're released before an attack takes place, which is what it seems was done on this case. They were released about an hour or two before the actual attack started as an information flow with some key members of the intelligence community. And we can go into some other things, but the last thing I'd like to say on this is any kind of information that's passed within government, and most people don't know this, is subject to something called either the Records Act or the Presidential Records Act. Everything that's passed in a written document or on email or in some kind of secret messaging network is kept in an archive. And it's for the history of the presidency. It's for going back and looking at things we did right and wrong. But it's a law that you have to keep that. And the very fact that some of this stuff, conversation between many members of the national security establishment, was put on Signals, which, by the way, I use as well on my personal iPhone, is just telling of the hubris and the incompetence of the people that were doing it, because they had it set for disappearance within 4 weeks, as you can do on Signal. You can set disappearance of messages anywhere from the minute the person reads it to 4 or 5 weeks away. And that tells me they were attempting to hide the conversation that they were having between the different players.
Yeah, I did see that a judge recently ordered the government to preserve those Signal messages because, as you said, they're set to delete in 4 weeks. Going back to what you said about the war plans, not to get caught up in it, these weren't the war plans themselves, because like you said, it couldn't be a direct transfer from classified to unclassified and with that volume. Is it fair to say that it was either a select transcription of or a conversation about classified war plans?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Or at least about a specific part of a attack plan. And interestingly enough, Amy, I'll go into military geekiness again and say, you know, when you plan something, it one day turns into an order or an execute mission, or, you know, here's what you have to do. So a plan has all kinds of assumptions and it's a broad picture of what you want to do. But when someone says go, it then turns into an order. And with a mission statement, and here's how you're going to execute it, and here are the things that are going to occur, and this is the effect we want to have. So a plan is, you know, sort of a concept of what you want to do, but then when it's turned into action, it becomes a mission or an order. And that's what was happening during the time of this attack on Yemen.
So,
that makes sense? I'm sorry, I'm kind of really getting into the weeds.
No, it does.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. What I'm wondering is, doing it the way they did it, could that have put American lives at risk? Because I know that there were some people in Congress who said that, yes.
Chris, emphatically, yes. And here's why. You know, there are a lot of people who are unfamiliar with the ability to hack into government systems or listen to what we call Signals intelligence, or SIGINT, but that is a capability that every major government in the world has. And because someone says, well, wait a minute, Signals is an encrypted app. Yeah, it may be encrypted for the normal person, but you take our National Security Administration in the United States, or some of the spy agencies in places like Russia or Iran or China or any other dozens of countries, they have the ability to tap into these things. And truthfully, they are listening all the time. And that's why the government employees and the military personnel are told emphatically, do not use commercial applications like Signal for government or military business. There's actually policy letters in the Pentagon saying you can't talk about these kinds of operations on an open network because there are eyes listening. When I used to travel around the world as the commander of U.S. forces in Europe, there were certain countries I wouldn't even take my government computer or my government phone into because of the capability of those countries to hack into something just when it's in your hotel room. So I was told emphatically, by my communication team, hey, boss, you don't want to take your computer on this trip. And those are the kind of things happening. So when you're talking about sending out signals on any kind of private or public application like signals, you're opening yourself up to be hacked and intelligence of the United States to be found by others. And what's interesting about this, Chris, to go one step further, you know, there's a lot of hubbub about this particular action regarding the attack in Yemen. My biggest concern is what other messaging have been going on in the U.S. government? If you've got all of these major players from the SecDef to the NSA to the Secretary of State to envoys to Russia, what other things have they been talking about on this commercial application? And it seems like it's been a lot that would fall into the hands of our enemies and harm not just American military people, but also American civilians from a security perspective.
General, what is the significance, if any, of J.D. Vance, the vice president, expressing to what could be like a third of Trump's cabinet members that he doesn't think Trump understood what he was doing as far as the message that this attack would send and that he doesn't understand the ramifications of it? Would that be normal to have that type of conversation without the president present? Did you see much significance in that?
Yeah, Amy, you know, we could spend about an hour and a half talking about all the things that were significant in this exchange. Yes, that was certainly one of them. Another one was when the vice president called our European allies all pathetic. He called them freeloaders. And there are 49 different countries in Europe. So is he calling all of those 49 countries freeloader? And then Secretary Hegseth came back and said, yeah, they're all pathetic. That's the kind of stuff that doesn't do much for your diplomacy. You know, I mean, to put it bluntly. But, you know, when you're talking about it, it's interesting that this whole concept was called the PC Houthi Chat. Now, PC stands for Primary Committee. And in the National Security Council, which Michael Gates runs, he schedules primary committee meetings. I say council, I'm sorry, it's primary committee meetings. And those are all the principles of the government. And these principles come together in these principal committee meetings. And they discuss things very openly in a very classified environment, usually in the sit room of the White House. If you're doing that over a Signals app, you can have people typing in their thoughts, but it's not getting to the primary, who is the decision maker, and that's the president. So, you know, these kind of things go on in any government where when you sit down with all of these key players, they express their opinions and they tell people what they think. So when Vance is saying something like that without the president being present, it tells me a lot about the way they're coordinating actions in the government, especially over a Signals app.
Yeah, there were so many concerns coming out of this leak to Jeffrey Goldberg, or including Jeffrey Goldberg in the message. And I guess, what are your thoughts on how Goldberg handled this as a journalist?
I don't know. That could be the topic of another hour and a half seminar. But what he did was he was reporting on something he had heard, which is what journalists do across the board. I thought he was very principled in not saying the specifics of what he had been given until he was taunted into doing that by people saying, oh, he didn't hear anything and it wasn't a war plan and there was no confidential documents leaked and all that other stuff. So he said, okay, I'll show you what I got. And he did that. And I think when you talk about after the fact, after the assaulted or the attack had been conducted, for him to release that, yeah, it's still classified documents or sensitive documents, I'd say, being released to the public, but it was occurring afterwards and it proved a point. Yeah, this is dangerous stuff that people are just kind of tossing around with a whole lot of hubris and not an understanding of the implications of speaking about these things.
Retired Lieutenant General Mark Hertling is with us here on KMOX. So there is a meeting or a trip J.D. Vance is on in Greenland. And we've heard a lot about that. We've heard a lot about that country and, you know, the United States trying to buy it or whatever. Not sure how serious that is. But why is Greenland, from a security standpoint, important to us?
Well, first of all, there's a couple of U.S. military bases on Greenland. And in the old days, when transatlantic flight was not as effective or efficient as it is today, there would often be aircraft landing there. It also is a major listening post for submarine activities in the Arctic, which provide routes into the northern territories. And, you know, it is an important element of a security alliance of NATO because it does belong to one of the NATO countries. I truthfully, Chris, I can't answer your question. I don't understand why there is suddenly this grand vision of the U.S. occupying Greenland. If anyone has ever flown over Greenland, which I have, other than the capital city of Nuuk, which has about, I think it has a population of 20,000 people, it's just a giant snowbank from east to west. I mean, it's a huge it's a huge parcel of land, but it's covered by ice and rocks and snow. So I don't understand it because one of our NATO allies actually is connected to that parcel of land. And I don't see I don't have the understanding or maybe the strategic vision that some of the people in government have that think that we ought to own it. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, we need to talk to you more often. I've got more questions as well. Just even with tariffs and the damage or potential damage we're doing to allies, and I know you understand the significance and importance of relationships with allies more than anyone else.
Yeah, I think I do, Amy, not more than anyone else, but I have, having spent, you know, 14 years of a 38-year career overseas, I understand, especially our European allies, to a lesser degree, our allies and partners in the Middle East, and even some in the Indo-Pacific region, like South Korea and Japan and the Philippines. But one of the things I'd say is, I think it was, I'm going to quote Churchill on you, and I think he said, the only thing worse than having a lot of allies is not having a lot of allies.
Yeah.
You know, and it's true, because alliances can be tough. They take a lot of work to keep strong. But once you've got them, they're by your side. Not a lot of people know this, but when we were fighting in Afghanistan, one-third of our force in Afghanistan was called ISAF. That stands for the International Security Assistance Force. One-third of that force, the majority of them came from Europe, from NATO countries like Germany and Brussels and Belgium and the Netherlands and the Baltic countries. And even some are non-NATO partners like Ukraine and Georgia in Europe. So they spent a great deal of national treasure, and a lot of soldiers from those countries were killed in action fighting for the things that we were fighting for right alongside of us. It would have been a whole lot tougher pull to do that without our allies.
Retired United States Army Lieutenant General Mark Hertling, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for visiting with us again.
Chris and Amy, it's always a pleasure to be with you, but unfortunately, we geared away from the Cardinals and into uncharted territory.
We'll get back to it.
Sometimes get back to the Cardinals. Okay?
Well, next time, we'll talk birds.
Okay. All right. Great, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Mark Hertling with us on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX.